Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama Da Pei Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Da Pei Chesem Be'ez, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara at the end of our previous shir had introduced us to the concept of the Takanas Usha, that they had made a rule in Usha that if a wife attempts to sell assets from her Nichsi Melug, to sell them or transfer them, the halacha is that sale is invalid. And as we explained at the end of our previous year, the reason Chazal made this rule is because they were anxious to preserve the tranquility of the home. And if a wife is going to sell off her husband's, these assets, which the husband is supposed to be the Yorish for, obviously it will have a negative effect on their marriage. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Idi Bar Oven Afanan Nami Tanina. We have actually learned a brisa that supports that there's this concept of Takanas Usha. Because the brisa speaks about Edom who show up and say, Ma'edim Anu B'ish Ploini. We could say testimony regarding this man, Shigiris Ishtar, that he divorced his wife on this day in this place, Fenosnik Subasa, and he paid off the Ksuba. And the husband says it's not true. I didn't divorce her. And of course, if I didn't divorce her, I obviously did not pay ksuba. And the truth is, harei tachta v'msham shema. There was indeed no divorce. They're still married. And then it turns out that those edim who said testimony that they had been divorced were lying. Because edim zomimim, as we expressed previously, are people who come the second pair and say, how could you, the first pair, have possibly be saying testimony, you were with us elsewhere. The reason, explained Rashi and Rishonim, it's important to add in this brisa that we see that they're still married, but because if it's true that they got divorced, let's say there will be other edim that say that they're divorced. And the Edom Zomimim will say that she already got a ksuba, then the Edom Zomimim would have to pay the ksuba because she's entitled to a ksuba because they're indeed divorced. It's only because they're not married, so there's really no ksuba payment. And since there's no ksuba payment, we can now begin a discussion, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, that the Torah says that the punishment of Edom Zomimim is Vasisim Loi Kash Zomim Lasis Lachav. What they wanted to do should happen to them. And now the question is, what is the repercussion that these Edom Zomimim should suffer? Ein Oimrim, we don't say that since what they said was untrue, and they said that she's not entitled to Ksuba because she already got it. So now by wanting to have done this to her, that she should be entitled to her ksuba, because it's very possible that she would anyway never get her ksuba. Because as we learn, the halacha is a woman is only entitled to ksuba if her husband divorces her or her husband predeceases her. So she can't say, well, you want to deprive me of my ksuba. She can't say that with a certainty that she wanted deprive her of a ksuba, when we can't be certain that she would have ever collected the ksuba. She can't be certain she would have collected the ksuba anyway. So what is she entitled to? She's only entitled to toivus hanog ksubasa. That means if a woman is going to sell a ksuba, so when somebody purchases that the ksuba, there's a question if it's a gamble. If she outlives her husband, or if he divorces her, so that indeed she's entitled to ksuba. Otherwise, she's not entitled to ksuba. And because of that, she's only entitled to that value, what somebody would be willing to pay for the ksuba, when we don't know for sure if she'll ever collect it. And says the Gemara, Ezu toivus ksubasa. How do we make that evaluation? What is the Toivus Ksuba? Oimdim, as we just explained, we make an assessment, kama adam roitzu litein b'ksuba shel zu. How much a person would be willing to pay for this ksuba? On the chance, shim nis'amlo, that her husband will die, on this gasha he'll divorce her. Shim mesa, because the halacha is, if that's not what's going to happen, but rather what's going to happen is that she will predecease her husband, then yushen abala, then the value of the ksuba is nothing, because the husband will be her yairish and not have to pay anything. But now the Gemara makes its point. V'sakadatach, if we're going to say lesser tekunas usha, that the tekunas usha is not in place, so now the question is, amai yushen abala? Why is there a possibility that she will never collect the ksuba, and therefore the person who purchased the ksuba for her from her got nothing? Tazma ksubasa, why doesn't she just sell her ksuba legamri? And therefore, if the halacha is that if a woman sells her assets, the sale is considered a valid sale, so then the ksuba surely will have value because those assets, that ksuba has a value that she could sell her assets. Amrabaya. So the Gemara's question is, she should be allowed to sell, as we discussed in our previous shiur, her nichsei tzayin barzel. She should be able to sell her nichsei tzayin barzel. What selling that will accomplish is that the husband will not yashin them, but rather whoever she sold it to, whomever she sold it to, will become the owner. Says the Gemara, that even though we see clearly from this Gemara, Amr Abaye im Amru b'nichsim alug, that Takanas Usha teaches us that she's not allowed to sell the nichsim alug, Yomru b'nichsim tzayim bazel. Nichsim tzayim bazel, if we could have a discussion about nichsim alug, can she not? But certainly, the nichsim tzayim bazel, since she can't sell them, then because the husband will become the Yorish of those assets, then she only could sell it, but Tovus Hanoah. But the Nichsei Tzayim, the Tekanas Usha spoke about the Nichsei Melug. We don't know what the halacha is by Nichsei Melug. Amar Abaye. So Abaye comments, Tovus Hanoah. Since we've now discussed the subject of Tovus Hanoah, Hoyel V'Asal Yodah, now we've come to discuss the situation, this halacha name of a milsa. Tovus Hanoah. If a woman sells her ksuba rights to someone else, says the Gemara, Lisha Hava. The money that's collected for selling the ksuba rights, the Tovus Hanoah, is something that belongs exclusively to the wife. The husband has no right in that money. Disakadatach, because says the Gemara, if you were to say Baal Hava, that the Tovus Hanoah belongs to the husband, Leim La'edim, so why can't the Edim say to Mayav Sedecha? We go back to the case that we began our shiur with today. We began a discussion where the Edom testified incorrectly that she's divorced and she got a ksuba. And the question that we have been focusing on is that the Torah Kedosha says that Edom Zomim is punishment. Is a sisim loikasha zomim lasis lochiv. What they wanted to do to her should happen to her. What they wanted to do to the victim of their false testimony should happen to her, to them. So now the question is, they can always make a claim, Mayav Sedinacha, what kind of loss have we caused you? What are we saying? That you got divorced and you already got ksuba. And therefore, you're not entitled to ksuba. So they say to her, even if you would have sold it, as we said, they could claim, she could always claim, I would have sold it. But says the Gemara, even if you would have sold it for Tavasanah, if the husband takes back the money. So if the husband could take the money, so you didn't suffer any loss. So if you didn't suffer any loss, why should we pay you because of Tavasanah? So the Mefarshim ask an obvious question. Even if we'll say that if a wife sells the ksuba with Tovus Hanoah, the husband gets the money. But the bottom line is, there is a ksuba here. And since there's a ksuba here, if the husband dies or divorces her, she's entitled to that ksuba. And that's what the Edom want to deprive her. Says the Nesivus based on this question. Even if something has some value to the victim, but he can't sell it, if it's a type of asset that you can't sell and get and keep the money, then it's not considered a value to you. So since the Nesivus is saying, if she sells it, the money will go to the husband, so we can't call that an asset, we can't consider that a asset with money. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach disagrees. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that if there's an asset that can be sold, even though she can't keep the money, that is an asset that has value. And we can't say that it has no value. What he's saying, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, what the Gemara means to say is much deeper. But the Gemara says that when we say that if she sells it, the Tovus Hanor goes to the husband, what the Gemara is really saying, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, is that there's no Tovus Hanor. The whole concept of Tovus Hanor speaks that she will get something for this Tovus Hanor. But if she's not going to keep anything, then there's actually no Tovus Hanor. If she's not going to keep anything from the sale, that cannot be considered a situation of Tovus Hanor. So from here we see that if something has no value, if something has no resale value, it may not be considered, according to Shlomo Zalman, something which is sellable, which opens up a very, very interesting question. And the question is, let's say somebody was mazik, somebody damaged somebody else's eyeglasses. The eyeglasses could be quite expensive, but the eyeglasses have no resale value. The eyeglasses are made for my eyes, my fit, my eyesight, my frames. They're not of value to someone else. And therefore, if somebody broke my lenses, if we're going to say that something that doesn't have resale value, as expensive and as valuable as they are to me, doesn't give it any halachic value, what would be the halacha if somebody is mazik somebody else's eyeglasses? Maybe he wouldn't have to pay because you said that we're destroying something that has no value. Rav Salman says, Rav Salman, even if we'll say that when a woman sells the ksuba, the Tovus Hanor goes to the husband, that doesn't mean that it doesn't have value. How does it have value? Mishum, the Ikar Ravach Beisai. If the husband's going to get that money from the sale of the ksuba, what does that mean? That means that the husband is going to have more income. If the husband has more income, the home in which they live will be a home in which there's more money and they can afford things and have things. So she is the beneficiary. She is the beneficiary. So of course, the Taras Chaim points out, yes, she's a beneficiary of the Tovus Hanor, because if a husband has more money, she will be that beneficiary. But points out to Taras Chaim, it's not that she's a beneficiary of the entire money, because it's not like the entire money that the husband is getting from the Tovus Hanor he'll spend on her. But there'll be more in the house, that there's going to be more money in the home, but doesn't mean that she's going to benefit from all that money. And therefore, it's going to be difficult, I think, the Taras Chaim means to say, how to evaluate that Tovus Hanor. It just can't be the cash value of the Tovus Hanor. It's going to be some sort of percentage of the Tovus Hanor. Amar Rava, says Rava, but the halach is the Tovus Hanor Isha. If a woman sells a ksuba, the Tovus Hanor goes to her. And then about Erchel Peris, and the money that she receives, the husband doesn't get any benefit from that money. That means if she goes and buys a field or a building from that money, the payers of that field, the interest, the rent from that field, he won't get. My Tama, because says the Gemara, even though Chazal were very generous in saying that the husband gets the payers of his wife's assets, says the Gemara, payer to Kinu L'Rabbanan, Chazal gave the payers to the husband, but this is payer the payer. This is already a derivative. She didn't. It's not her asset. She sold the ksuba and got a taivas anah, and that, like the kinnalei rabbanon, didn't get. So the rishonim, many rishonim, ask a question that the Gemara teaches us actually not like that. The Gemara Masechet Ksubos that pay Gimel Amud Aleph says that a husband is entitled to payris, and a husband is entitled even to pay her payris. So how does our Gemara say that he's not entitled to pay her payris? So the Tosfos answers that when is the halacha that a husband is entitled to pay her payris? Nichsim Melug. As we speak about Nichsim Melug, she brought assets into the marriage, and those assets produce, and let's say the assets produced rent, and that rent was reinvested to buy further assets. So the rent from the new building is the pay repairs. But they all emanate from the original Nichsim Melug. Says Tosfos, when the payers emanate from the original Nichsim Melug, that the husband is entitled to. Here, we're not talking about payers that emanate from the original Nichsim Melug. They're emanating from the Ksuba. There is no such halacha. The Rashba says an easier answer. He says that when we speak about peri-peris in Masechet Ksubos that the husband is entitled to, he says there is talking about in the normal course of events. In the normal course of events, if somebody has a building and the building produces income and there's profit, so what most people do is that they reinvest the profit to make even more. Says the Rashba, that's where the Gemara Masechet Ksubos says that the husband's entitled to pay repairs. But in a case where it's unusual, where the wife will sell the Toivus Hanor and then sell that Toivus Hanor and use it for reinvesting, and that the husband should get the pay repairs, that's unusual. In an unusual situation, that's what the Gemara means to say, that the husband's not entitled to pay repairs. Says the Gemara, he also, Rapapa Rahuna Bere Dushuma Bay Rav, when they came from Yeshiva, Amri, they said, Tanina Latakanas Usha. The Mishnah that we're learning is actually supports that there is a concept of Takanas Usha. Because the Mishnah says, Ever Veisha, or Ever Kanani, or a wife, Pigiosan Ra, getting into altercation with them is not positive. Hachayvel Ben, if somebody injures them, going to be Chayv Nezek Tzari Pishavas Poishas. If they do that damage, Peturim. Says the Gemara, V'yisal kadatach, lest the Tekanas Usha, if we're saying there's no Tekanas Usha, why is the injury that a married woman causes not considered a Pigyasa Ra? Because she doesn't have her own money. But if we're not going to follow the Tekanas Usha, so let us sell her assets. Let us sell her Nichsim Melug and use those proceeds to pay the person she injured. Tazman Nichsim Melug, she should sell the Nichsim Melug for Titanlei and give it to the injured party. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't teach us that halacha is clearly an indication because it's not acceptable. Takanas Usha says that she can't sell those assets. Says the Gemara L'Tameich. The Ne'enamid Isa Takanas Usha. So you're going to say that the way to understand our Mishnah is that the Mishnah is actually supporting the contention of the Takanas Usha that a wife has no right to sell this. So she can't sell them entirely. But ask the Gemara, based on what we've learned in our Shia today, you could sell a ksuba for Tovus Anah, it's a risk, but there's a price for everything. So why don't we say, Tasman, she should sell her Nichsim Melug with Tovus Anah. Yes, the buyer is taking a risk if he may ever end up with this, because it depends who dies first, the husband or wife, if he divorces her. But whatever payment she gets, she should so give to the nizik. Ella, the lessly. Why didn't the Mishnah offer this option? Because we're speaking about a woman who doesn't have the Nichsim Melug. And since she doesn't have this Nichsim Melug, this is not an option. Hachanami, so that's what we're going to say about this case. It's not that the Takanas Usha is in place or isn't in place. The Mishnah is referring to situation, the Lesla. There's nothing to sell. But maybe if she had what to sell, it would be a valid sale. Ask the Gemara. But So we could make an argument, says the Gemara, that the woman doesn't have nechse milug, but every woman has a ksuba. And we're learning in our shiur today that you could always sell your ksuba for taivas anah. So ask the Gemara, why doesn't our Mishnah suggest that if a woman injured somebody else, the tasman ksuba, so she should sell a ksuba, and with a and whatever taivas anah she receives, the titinlay, she'll give it to the person she injured. Answers the Gemara, Hamani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Ramei, he represents the opinion of Ramei. There is no option of selling the ksuba because you can't remain without a ksuba. So since you can't remain without a ksuba, so selling the ksuba is not an option because how will they remain married? So the Sefer Torah Chaim asks the question that even though the Rabbanan disagree with Rameyer and say that you can sell ksuba, they only say you could sell for 2-3 years, not indefinitely. So why are we limiting to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of the Rameyer? It can't even follow the opinion of the Rabbanan, because according to Rabbanan, you also can't sell ksuba forever. So Taras Chaim says that we have to say that our Mishnah that sell it for 2-3 years. At least that you'll have some value. So our Gemara just taught us that a couple cannot remain without a ksuba. And the reason for Ramei's opinion is, why did Chazal institute a ksuba? Chazal instituted a ksuba, it should be a deterrent from getting divorced. And the husband knows that if he's going to divorce her, it's going to cost him. And that's what prevents him from being quick to divorce his wife. The halacha is that, according to Ramea, that since Ramea is so strict, the wife cannot be meichel the ksuba payment. And furthermore, the Gemara Masechta Ksubas teaches us that if the wife loses a ksuba, the halacha is that they have to draw another ksuba. The Mishnah Daf Pei Zayin says that if somebody is injured, as we discussed, by a married woman, because he can't collect payment, and since until this marriage if dissolves, if the husband divorces his wife and she gets the ksuba payment, the ksuba payment will be used to pay for the damages. The Miri quotes those that say that if a woman injures her own husband, so now she owes him for the ksuba. So what will be the halacha? If the husband divorces her, can he withhold the ksuba payment as compensation for his injury? So he says yes. The Miri, however, quotes those who disagree and say that if the purpose of the ksuba is to serve as a deterrent, as we said a moment ago, from them, the husband being quick to divorce his wife, if the husband knows that if he divorces her, he won't have to pay her the ksuba because he can hold it back in payment for the damages, then the halacha is that that would be counter to what we're accomplishing, and therefore he's not entitled. Derma says that now that we live in a world after the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom that says you can't divorce a woman against the law, the halacha is much more lenient regarding the ksuba. Because what is the reason that, as we said, Chazal instituted the ksuba? Chazal instituted the ksuba shdei kal be'en av leitzia. He shouldn't be quick to divorce her. Now, if the halacha is, like we learned so many times in Masechta Gittin, that a husband could just divorce his wife without her consent. So that's why we have to institute rules to make sure that the husband will not be so quick to divorce her. That's why Chazal instituted the ksuba. But if the husband can't just divorce his wife because he feels like doing so anyway, then the halacha changes dramatically and we don't have to be so concerned. So the Rama seems to be saying that even if a wife were to lose her ksuba, it wouldn't be so terrible for them to remain together. But that is not our minig. Our minig is that if somebody loses the ksuba, we do write the new ksuba. It's called the ksuba de irchasa, because as Ramei just taught us, a couple should never be married without having a ksuba. Says the Gemara, again, Hamani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Ramei, he the Amar, Osla, Adam, Shisha, Sishta, Ephil, Shachs, Blake, Ksuba. Tamamai, what's the reason, as we said, Kadesh Shloi, Te, Kalben, and Tzanef? Hochop, Lemigar Shlo. Here, it's going to be difficult to divorce her. The Megar Shlo, Osa, Harach, the Zevne, Vanda, Govlak, Subamne. He's not going to divorce her anyway. Ella, what's the reason she doesn't sell the Ksuba to pay it? For a different reason. Tovus no milinanu. Tovus no is not really, the Tovus no of a Ksuba doesn't really have a tangible financial value, and therefore, mila mishtabdi, it's not something that's sellable. Ask them, Ralom Aloy, why do you say that? Mila the mishtabdi bedinrininhu. It has a value, and anything that has a value is sellable. Ella, the reason why she doesn't have to sell it is for a different reason. Mishum de Shmuel, Amish Shmuel. If somebody sells, somebody owes money to somebody else, and he sells, so he has an IOU, and he says, so I have an IOU that you owe me money, and I sell it, and now, after I sell it to whomever, I forgive the original debt. Chazru machol, if I forgive the original debt, machol. The halacha is that it's forgiven. But filu, the halacha is, Yairish Michael. That means that let's say somebody owed somebody money. Somebody was owed money. He could forgive the debt. He sold that account payable to someone else. And now that loiva, that malva dies, and his son is his Yairish. So the son was really never even a party to the original transaction. He could still be meichelet. So now to bring this to our Gemara, the concern is that she's going to sell the ksuba, only receive tayvus hanav. But even though she's only going to receive tayvus hanav, the halacha is she can now turn around and forgive her husband for the ksuba, and it'll turn out that the sale is a meaningless sale, and therefore, since it's a meaningless sale, the halacha is that. That's why that sale, since she can be meichelet, it's a meaningless sale. So of course the Rishonim try to understand why can the malva be meichel after he sold the asset. So the most common explanation is given by Rabbeinu Tam. He says that every obligation comes with two parts to it. One part is the actual debt, that somebody owes somebody else money. That's the shibud, mammon. And then there's a shibud ha-nefesh. I owe you money. We now created a relationship where you owe me money. I could sell the physical deal. I could sell you owe me money, and instead of paying me, pay whoever I sold this obligation to. But the relationship that exists between I who lent the money and you who received the money, that cannot be sold and that cannot be transferred. And since that can't be sold or transferred, that's why the halacha is I, the malva, always remain a party here. And since I always remain a party here, that's why I could be meichel. That's the way Rabbeinu Tam explained. I saw another variation of Rabbeinu Tam's point is that the loiva always could say, La bal dvarm de diat. I don't know you. Somebody bought an IOU from someone else. And that person now shows up at the loiva's home and says, you owe me money. And the loiva says, who are you? I didn't borrow any money from you. I borrowed money from the malva. That reality can never be changed. And since that reality can never be changed, that's why they always have the right to be meichel. And since they always have the right to be meichel, that's why the sale is a meaningless sale. Ask the Gemara. Amri. I don't understand, ask the Gemara. Svin is even. She should be allowed to sell the ksuba for the Tavis Hanoa. Vetitanlei, and that's what she should give to the person whom she injured. Vi machlal gababal, if at the end she's going to be machlal husband, timchol. In other words, the Gemara is saying, you're right. It may end up that the person who bought this ksuba bought something which is totally valueless. But that let it happen. And until it happened, why should we be worried about it? Answers the Gemara Amri. It's not just a concern. Kol lagabe bala. Who is the person that owes her the ksuba? Her husband. Vada machlalei. When it's a question of the husband, so she's certainly going to be Michael, her husband. Vasinda lahi biyadayim lefsednu. So to go allow her to sell the ksuba b'tayves hanah, in order that she should be able to have money, in order that she should pay the person that injured, and this whole situation will happen, Chazal did not want to enter that type of situation. So says the Gemara, I'll come up with a better solution. Zvina nila lahu dechavleba. Let us sell the ksuba to the person whom she injured, b'tayves hanah. And that should be the amount. The imachla, if the imachla gababal, because even if she'll go and be moichel the ksuba, like kamafsid, the injured party won't suffer. The hashtanami lamidi kayavla. The Gemara's question is, yes, there is a real possibility that after she sells the ksuba, b'tayves hanah, she's going to be moichel the husband. Let's say it's possible, let's say it's likely. So, yes, at that point, the person who got the ksuba will have got nothing. But he doesn't have anything anyway. He has nothing to lose. Says the Gemara, Soif, Soif, Kol Baal Vade Machla. Since we're assuming that when it comes to her husband, she's certainly going to be Machel. So then going through this entire procedure, there's no point in doing this for no good reason. Ella, ask the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, Hadatanya, the Chen Chi Shechavla Babala, if she injured her husband, Loiv Sidik Subasa. She doesn't lose a ksuba. But ask the Gemara, Vamai, why don't we say, Tazmina Nila Ksuba, so let her sell a ksuba, to her husband. But Tavis Hanah, let the husband say, well, this ksuba that you have for me is worth whatever it's worth, in Tavis Hanah, now I don't have to pay you for that point. The Machla Gababal, because even if she'll be Michael, he doesn't lose, like a pseida, because he just won't have to pay the ksuba ultimately if he dies before her. Answers Gemara Havadi Rameyi. We have to fall back to what we said earlier for Rameya, that if that will be the case, that if the husband buys the ksuba from her, or the husband becomes the owner of the ksuba by himself, if that ultimately is going to happen, so then it means that there's no ksuba deterrent between this husband and wife. Also, and we learned Ramey's opinion is that also a lot of shisha shishta filish aks play ksuba tamamai kadesh loy te kalbein of leitziyai. We want to have this deterrent for hachop, and here there's no deterrent because megarish lo, the husband will divorce her, and he says it won't cost me anything because the ksuba I won't have to pay out because I'm getting the ksuba because she owes me the money for the damage she did to me. Says the Gemara Ihachi hashtanami. So if that's the case, that the husband got injured by her and he wants to be able to, and the lack of a deterrent is what gives him the incentive to divorce her. So forget about this whole procedure, asked the Gemara. Let's learn simple. The husband will divorce her. What happens when he divorces her? He has to give her a ksuba. The moment he gives her a ksuba, he turns around to her and says, well, you owe me money for when you injured me. Govalei. So if that concern is that now we don't have a deterrent, so then we don't have the deterrent anyway. Says the Gemara, there is a deterrent. Kigoyin the nafish ksuba asad. The mishuma aparte lemasa tuva. The ksuba, let's say, is worth $1,000. The injury was worth $500. So yes, if they get divorced and he'll have to give her $1,000, he'll get back 500, the 500 that she owes him for the injury she did to him. But even if she has to pay back
even if he gets the 500,
he still has a loss of $500. So whenever the value of the ksuba is greater than the value of the injury, we still have a deterrent from getting divorced. Kigoin, the nafish ksubasa, the value of the ksuba is more than the value of the injury, and therefore, mishumahu perta, the amount, the percentage that he's going to get back, he's now willing to lose the balance. Lemasa tuba, says the Gemara. So what will be the halacha? Vid in the fish ksubasa ksuba deraisa. Let's say haksuba. We know that the Torah says the ksuba of a divorced woman, of a bu'ula, is a mana. The ksuba of a psula is masayin. So let him give her, let him give her a ksuba of more than 100 or 200. Nukva ksuba deraisa. Vidach, why don't we go back to our original question? What was our issue? Why we don't want to let her sell the ksuba? Because we keep on repeating the opinion of Rameyer that osloi l'adam sheyisha b'loi ksuba, that the couple can't remain without a ksuba. But what does that mean, that the couple can't remain without a ksuba? What that means is that they have to have the basic amount, the mona masayim. So why don't we say the following? Most women have a ksuba, which is more than mona masayim. So let her sell the balance of the ksuba, and the mona masayim, indeed, she can't sell because of rameya. Noikma ksuba daraisa, let them remain with the minimum amount which the Torah requires. Vidach, and the rest, tisben nidla behavli, she should be allowed to sell. She should be required to sell to get an income to pay the person she injured. Answers the Gemara, kigoyin deloy nefish ksubasa, b'ksuba daraisa. We're speaking about a case here where the ksuba is not worth more than the ksuba deraisa. So the option of selling the balance isn't on the table. And the Gemara explains, to have a havlei, the damage, the injury was arbezuzei, the mishum arbezuzei, for the arbezuzei, loy mafsid esrim v'chamisha. It's not worth it for him to divorce her, and he'll be able to get a few dollars, but when he divorces her, it'll cost him. El hada tanya, says the Gemara, the Brises teaches us, k'shem shloi timkav hi tachtav, a wife should not sell the ksuba while they're married, kach loi tafsid vi ksubasa. What does the Brises seem to mean? That she shouldn't deduct anything from the ksuba, even if it's a case of injury. But why not? V'azimna the mishkach loi demafsida, there are cases that she can lose from the ksuba. We just gave an example where the ksuba is worth more than the ksuba deraisa. He'll rewrite the ksuba to give her just the ksuba deraisa, and the balance, that so they remain married with a ksuba, and the balance she now forfeits because she owes it to him. Says the Gemara, because of this question, Amarava Seif Asun L'ksubas b'nei Dichrin. There's a concept of ksubas b'nei Dichrin. Ksubas b'nei Dichrin teaches us, in those days, men were married to multiple wives. And when a wife got married to her husband, she would bring money into the marriage. Now, her father was reluctant to give her money because he was always concerned that, let's say, my son-in-law will have other wives, and he'll outlive the wives. And then when he dies, all of his sons will be the Yarshim of his assets, including the money that my daughter brought into the marriage. And you know who will get that money? The sons of my wife's tzaris, the sons of my wife's co-wives. So Chazal made up a ksubas b'nei Dichrin that everybody, the assets that every wife brought into the marriage will go to her children. V'achitani, and the Brisa means to say like this, Shem shemecher ksubas l'achirim lo yifsid ksubas b'nei Dichrin. The ksubas b'nei Dichrin stay in place. And even, and therefore, if she predeceases the husband, and the person who bought the ksuba gets nothing, the ksubas b'nei Dichrin sticks around. My tam is zuza den tzua. She only sold because she needed the money, and therefore, it doesn't undo the ksubas b'nei Dichrin obligation. In the case that we're learning here, where she injured the husband and she sells the ksuba to her husband, the ksubas b'nei Dichrin are still going to be in place. my tama, zuza den suha. She didn't sell because she wanted to sell it. She sold it because she was put into this position. And since they put it into this position, Chazal wanted it to remain this way. And since Chazal wanted it to remain this way, that's why the sale won't change it, and therefore there's no point in selling it. It's very interesting. Rabbi Yosef Engel in his Sefer Yosef Lekach makes a point that the Torah says that if somebody violates a woman, oinus, the Torah says, v'loy siya li'isha. By Mefata, it says, Maya yimarenu loy li'isha. And Rashi on the pasuk Maya yimarenu means he should marry her. And the word Maya reflects the ksuba. So the question Rabbi Yosef Engel explains is in both cases, this man has to marry the woman. But why by Mefata does it speak about the ksuba payment? And why by the oinus does it say v'loy siya li'isha and the Torah does not express itself in terms of the ksuba payment? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel. He explains that when somebody violates a woman, not only is there a din of v'loy siya li'isha, that they remain married, but they remain married forever. He can't divorce her even if he wants to. By Mefutter, he can. So explains Rabbi Yosef Engel. So what's the reason that we give a ksuba? We keep on explaining. To a deterrent from getting divorced. So by Mefata, there's a point of giving, of having a ksuba, because otherwise he may divorce her. So we want that deterrent in place that he shouldn't divorce her. Whereas by an oinus, he can't divorce her even if he wants to. If he can't divorce her even if he wants to, there's no need for Mayer Morena. There's no need for a ksuba, because they're going to remain remarried no matter what. So we've been learning the opinion of Rameya. We've been explaining that we're following the opinion of Rameya, that a wife should have a ksuba. That's the deterrent. And also, Lodom, you can't remain married without a ksuba. So the question is, where is the ksuba kept? If the ksuba is a document that's here for the protection of the wife, where is it kept? So there are many that suggest that the minig was that the ksuba was given to the kala's parents, to the kala's relatives, because there's no giving the ksuba to the wife who lives in the home with her husband, and the husband could always take the ksuba and tear it up or whatever. What have we accomplished if we wanted to have the ksuba as a deterrent? Ramosha, the Shas Tshuva, Igris Moshe Evan Ezechel Gimel Simon Chav Vav, says as well that there is a reason that the ksuba should not be left by her, and if she is indeed concerned that he may do something, then he shouldn't leave it there. Most wives trust their husband that even if Chas V'Shalom they get divorced, the husband will be honest that he didn't pay the ksuba and he owes the ksuba. Ramanashi Klein, the Shas Chuvas Mishnah Alokas Chelik Tes Simarei Tzadikei, discusses it, and he says that no, a wife should have the ksuba in a hidden place that's her private place that she has the key to and that the husband doesn't have access to. Otherwise, what we've been learning about what is the concept, what does the ksuba accomplish, the deterrent, has been taken away. But then the Pesukim discuss, many people have the minig of having a ksuba written with calligraphy, with design. Is there a point to it? And they have it hanging in their home. Some Pesukim take the opinion that ksuba is just a business document. It's a business transaction. If somebody owns a home, would you see him hanging up the deed to his home? Ksuba is no different than a deed. A ksuba represents that they get married and some obligation. But I did see that the Shas Tshuvas Oz Nidbaru discusses that there may be a good reason to have the ksuba hanging in a prominent place. Because as we've been learning, when is the ksuba paid? The ksuba is paid when the marriage terminates. Hopefully, the marriage will be a healthy, good marriage. but the marriage will terminate because the husband, Rahman Slan, dies, the wife, Rahman Slan, dies. So every time you look at the ksuba, that's what comes to mind, that everything here is just temporary. And that lesson that a couple should always remember, that our entire existence is just a temporary existence, is a very positive lesson, is a very important lesson. And that's why he says, yes, hang up the ksuba in a prominent place to keep that lesson in mind.